Would you welcome Pastor Trent this morning?
Thank you, Dave. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians. What a book. And you're like, yeah, we know it all. I mean, we've been in it a long time. I think we're on study 41. I keep track. That's in my calculations less than a year, though it might seem like longer than a year because, you know, we have holidays and everything. I'm justifying how long I've been there. But I know we're in part 7 of this section, but actually in the book of Ephesians. What a great book. I pray that you've been blessed and will be blessed. We certainly won't finish it this morning, but we will finish this series we're doing, Walking in Harmony, and this section here in the book of Ephesians. Remember, the section started in verse 21 of chapter 5 as we've been talking about submission. And we're continuing to talk about it this morning. Last week we did touch, we are in chapter 6 in verses 5 through 9, and we talked about slavery. But we didn't get really into the text, we just kind of sketched the background of slavery. Well, let's read the text and get into it. It says, "Servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, which whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." Would you pray with me? Father, we do ask that you would now bless, Lord, the teaching of your word, hone our hearts and our minds in, that we might hear and understand. And Lord, this area that we're going to talk about this morning of being an employee or an employer, this thing we call work here, this thing we call career, this thing which we call where we make our living. And certainly, Lord, for many of us spend so much time doing that of our life. Give us a vision, your vision. Give us a biblical understanding of what we're to be doing in that place. And we ask that you would bless and open our hearts and our minds. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. Then the Proverbs tell us that the people perish from lack of vision. And I think if there's any area that, in a very real and practical sense today, that we as the church have perished from lack of vision, it's the area of what we call the place of employment. That we lack vision as we go to work. And you say, am I supposed to have vision? Well, I think that reveals the lack of our vision. Whether we're an employee, whether we're an employer, last week we covered what that looked like in the context of the writing of Ephesians with slave and master. We saw how those parallels are far closer than we might have originally thought when we thought of a slave and master, how it really didn't represent what we know as slavery and what was a master in the American history that we have. But in the Greco-Roman culture, it was very different, and it was something that really has a lot of comparisons to make. So we draw that application on that context this morning, and so I'm going to speak from now on about employer, and when I do that, I will be speaking about master and employee, and when I do that, I'll be speaking about servant. And if you weren't with us last week, you want to pick up that teaching because it will fill in any of those gaps that we might have. But we need vision, and I say that because God has a calling on our lives. You know, my heart is certainly for the peoples of the world to hear the gospel. I think if there's anything that you would say is our vision as a church, certainly as a church leadership, certainly as a pastor, what is our pastor's vision? If you've been around for any time, you could answer that question pretty easily. Our pastor's vision, you might use the word, is missions. That word falls short of our vision. Our vision is to see every man and woman that has ever been born have an opportunity to respond to Jesus Christ in the gospel as you and I have had that opportunity. Whether that person is in some remote village in Africa, which there's many of them there, and that's why we do go. Whether those people are in some city in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in India, Sri Lanka, Indonesia, wherever it might be, in some remote village in China, or whether that person is working with you every day of your life and you just forgot or weren't aware that this person has never seen a real Christian in their life. We talk about the unreached, and you know, more and more I have found that the unreached are coming amongst the reached, but the problem is the remaining unreached. You think, you've lost me. I'm totally lost. That's good. So hopefully I got your attention. You're like, what is he saying? And get your brain. It's just kind of, you know, we're kick-starting it still. What am I saying? I'm saying this. In years past, America has mainly been a country that we would call an evangelized country. And it still is, to the most part, the mainstream of Americans are evangelized. Meaning this, that they've heard the true gospel. Okay, when I say heard the gospel, you say, well, they know about church. Church isn't the gospel. The word church, when someone says, hey, have you ever heard of a church? That doesn't mean they've heard the gospel. Have you ever been to a church? That doesn't mean they've necessarily heard the gospel. You know, part of the history of America, the Church of America has been known to raise people in the church and come out of the church as teenagers, as young adults, and have never heard the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The call to repentance to someone, that they might repent of their sins and get saved, that they might know God and fellowship with God and have a relationship with God. My own stepdad, who is now the accountant of our church and is involved in many levels in our ministry, he tells me that when he went to Vietnam on his dog tags, was atheist or agnostic or something of that sort. He tells me he was a Sunday school teacher in an American church. He grew up in church and he never heard the gospel until after he came back from Vietnam and was sitting in a church, a different church, one day, and he actually heard, hey, you've got to repent of your sins if you want to get saved. And, you know, you think, are you serious? Yeah, but even deeper. In our culture today, there are subcultures, and they're moving in by the groves. In the last 10 years, we've had an increasing amount of what we might call immigrants coming into this country because we believe in our Constitution that all men are equal. And we celebrated that last month, or last week. It's been long. It's a long week. You know, I'm getting ready for Africa. There's a lot of things in my head. But we have these cultures coming in. In fact, today, I love international food. I'll confess that. Now, if you want to take me out to dinner, no, just joking. But I love international food. And I can get any international food in Orange County. I probably don't even need to go to LA. But if I do, can't find it here, I can guarantee you in LA I can find any international food, which tells me, you know, God uses my stomach. You know, Peter was the same way. You know, there he was hungry, the Bible says, and he was went up on the rooftop as they were preparing a meal. It says he fell into a trance or a sleep. He took a little nap. I love Peter. I mean, he likes to eat and nap in the day. But, you know, he took a little nap up there on the roof. And he has a vision of these unclean animals, and God says, kill and eat. Oh, I just love that. God's with him too. And anyways, he loved food, and God knew how to get his attention, and basically God was trying to give him a spiritual message. You know, Jesus never turned down a meal. Anyways, I'm getting sidetracked here on food. I like to justify, like, my loves, food, okay? But anyways, it shows me something. It shows me that there are cultures within our culture all over the world. Many of those cultures represent people that have not grown up with the Bible. In fact, they've been able to maintain their culture within our culture. And I suggest to you that you work, that you rub shoulders with those that are from some of these cultures. And though you might think they have heard the gospel, and they might even have visited a church, or have certainly heard about church and certainly heard about Christianity, but they are practicing Hindus, practicing Buddhists, practicing Muslims. Church, don't be afraid of Muslims. There's something that Satan has brought into the church that we're afraid of those of the Muslim faith. They are people, and most of them are very kind, hospitable. You get into a Muslim culture. I love Muslims. I love the Muslim culture. In fact, on our way to Africa, we have a layover in the city of Dubai, which is in the United Arab Emirates. I think I'm more excited about that than going to Africa. I've been to Africa a lot of times. I've been to Dubai once. It's the hub of the Arab world. I'm looking forward to some food. I confess that. But, you know, when you're in Dubai on the street, you see a woman standing there, and you see her in a black suit, literally, with a little slit, and all you can see is her eyes. She's veiled from head to toe. There's something in our American culture that says to us, whoa, like we get scared, you know? But you know what? They're people. They're people under there. And you know, those people have come to this country. And those people are here, and they live amongst us. I was witnessing to a Muslim not too long ago, actually, while I was eating some good Lebanese food. He was a waiter at a Lebanese restaurant I like over by the Orange Mall called Zena's. You ever like Lebanese food? Go there. It's good stuff. Anyways, he was my waiter. I'd go in there all the time. My wife and I would go in there any chance we'd get a babysitter. And as we would dialogue with him and talk with him, I was sharing the gospel with him. Now, he spoke great English. He was Persian. He actually had grown up, I think, in France. And he was here in the States going to school. And now he's back. He's gone. I had a small window with this guy. And as I was dialoguing with him, I asked him, have you ever heard the gospel? To my shock, he told me no. I just took a second to, here's a guy, you would think, of course this guy's heard the gospel. And so I began to share the gospel. I actually gave him a track. He comes back to my table, which means he read the track during work. He comes back to my table and he says to me, what is this word? And I said, what word? I'm thinking, great. I don't know even how to read. I asked my wife. He spelt it for me. That was good. It was a small word. Three letters. S-I-N. I was shocked. Sin. I said, have you ever heard of sin? He said, no. I said, wow. I was stunned. I didn't even know how to answer him. I didn't even know where to begin. I'm sitting here in Orange, eating Lebanese food, and I've got the unreached right in front of me. And God gave me a great opportunity to share with him and to give him a book about Christianity, Islam, and just good stuff, and built a really neat relationship. I was just camping in the Kern River about a month ago. I think that was a month ago. And I had met this guy from Greece. I think I shared a little bit about that with you. This guy, I've been to Greece, so I know that most Greeks are from the Greek Orthodox tradition. And I saw and firsthand true Greek Orthodoxy in Greece. Now, let me say, it really doesn't reflect Christianity at all. And I mean, I met with a Greek Orthodox guy who had become a Christian. And in his village, as he became a Christian, he was beaten and persecuted by the priest of the Greek Orthodox church, and actually was paid, the church paid for his beating to some, you know, thugs to beat him up, kick him out of the village. And this is what goes on. So I knew that this guy had not seen true Christ. They had not seen, he had not seen Jesus. So I was wondering what his background was. And as I'm becoming more aware of the people in our country, that they really haven't heard the gospel, a lot of these people, I started to ask him some questions. And I realized that not only did he have a Greek Orthodox background, but he had Greek gods. He believed in a lot of Greek gods, Greek mythology, and just some very interesting philosophy he had on life as he began to share with me. He said the same thing when I started preaching the gospel to him. I said the word sin like three times. He says, Wait, what's this you speak of? This word, how do you say it? He never heard the word in his life. Didn't know how to pronounce the word sin. He says, you keep saying, I said, sin. He says, yes, this, what is this? And again, I'm faced with, because you know, sin's the issue. And that's, you don't understand sin, you don't understand the gospel, and certainly, if you don't know that you're a sinner, you don't need a savior. He saves us from our sin. Church, my point that I'm trying to make to us is that amongst you, and especially you guys and gals that are out there and working in the workforce, you are rubbing shoulders with people who have never heard the gospel. They've never had the opportunity. And this is your calling. As much as it's, you know, Adi and Nasima's calling to go to Kenya and in Nairobi to teach and to equip and to be missionaries, God has placed a calling, no lesser, upon your life. And He's placed you where you are. And the problem we have when it comes to work today, which we spend more than almost half of our lives there, you take out sleeping, we spend half of our lives at least or more in the place called work, for those of us that are career people, and we don't realize that it's a calling of God. We look at it as a paycheck. Why are you at work? Well, hey, you know, these guys aren't treating me well, and I just met with my boss, and there's not the money and this and that. And we're there because we see it as a form of getting payment for a service we offer, and we don't see it as a calling of God on our lives to be the fragrance of Christ in the midst of the world. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, Paul tells the Corinthian believers in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we are to go in there and to represent Him. Now certainly there are many people besides the unreached that we're to reach. But I just point that out to say, I want us to have a vision. I pray that you have a vision that's greater than the earth, than bound by time and bound by earthly things like finances and worth, and that we see ourselves as kingdom people. We see ourselves as Christians, and we realize this, and I really want to urge this morning, that we recognize that there's more to life than this life. That there is heaven awaiting us, and it's even right here. He talks to a servant who seems and feels bound. I guarantee it, some of us in here this morning that are working today feel like we are trapped. We just do this to do this. We go to work, we get up in the morning, we do our thing, we go to work to make money so we can pay for the gas that gets us to work and that car that gets us to work and the insurance on the car that gets us to work so we can go there so we can spend time away from our home, which we have to pay for, and then we can eat some food, and we just exist. And at the end of the month, we say, how did we make it through that month? Another one. Here comes another one. And like, that's what life, that's what God's intended you said, you know, enjoy life. Be blessed. And you're like, this isn't a blessing. Because we see, we're just short-sighted. We need vision. We need to see what God is saying, what God has for you and me. And He's got a calling on our lives. And that place of employment is God providing for you. It's, if you would, God is in, He's put you in the ministry, and He's paying your bills through those heathens, maybe. Or Christians, but He's paying your bills. But you're not there to pay bills. You're there to be a witness for Jesus Christ, to be a light. And more than speaking, though, there's times that God will open those doors and you need to take them. I do not believe in a silent witness, which is a witness that never says anything. That's contrary to the word witness. You can't proclaim the gospel without proclaiming it. Makes sense, right? We're all on the same page. But I would say, certainly in the place of employment, we need to be careful in sharing and talking a lot. And we need to be more committed to loving God and working hard and representing Christ and allowing our light to shine in the midst of darkness. And when God opens the doors for us to share the gospel, and we need to pray for that and look for that. Some of us go like, well, if God opens the door, hope He doesn't. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. God genuinely opens the doors for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those we work with, that we would take that opportunity and we'd be ready for that. And that's important. But more than that, Paul isn't saying, hey, servants, go into your masters and just preach to them. He's saying, be faithful. The core of what it is to be a Christian is to be a faithful person, to be faithful to the Lord, to love the Lord, to be faithful to people, to love them, to represent Christ to them, and as God gives us those opportunities to share the gospel with them. And that's true in a home, that's true at work, that's true in a friendship, that's true on almost every level. Certainly one of the greatest things that our missionaries do, and I think, you know, we see them as the tip of the spear, and they certainly are, and they go to these foreign lands, they don't go in there and just start passing out tracts and preaching the gospel. They go to foreign lands and they build relationships and they just work hard and they're just there and the people are skeptical of them and the people ridicule them and the people persecute them and they just remain faithful to the Lord. And pretty soon the people start listening because the people start having their hearts turned from them and their skepticism to, wow, this person's got something that's wonderful, that's unique, that's different. And that's what draws them to them. And then they share the gospel. Well, there's no difference. There's no difference in the place of maybe your employment. Notice what Paul says here. Verse 5, servants. We looked at this verse quickly last week at the end of our study. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Again, that's with honor and respect. In sincerity of heart. We talked about that's what people need. But notice, as to Christ. There's the key. As to the Lord, as to Christ, you are a servant of Christ in the place that you are employed. You are not a servant of your company. Your first allegiance is to Christ. So what does he say to you? Because sad to say, and I shared this last week, that most Christian employees have been known to be the worst employees in the company. That comes from Christian employers as well as from unbelieving, non-Christian employers. Meaning this, they seem to slack off. Certainly when you have a Christian employer with a Christian employee, they think, well, he's a Christian, he's my bro, we're equal. And Paul, and we don't have time to look at every verse in the New Testament on this, but if you want to take some notes, I can give them to you. There's not that many. Concerning a Christian employer and a Christian employee, I would refer you to 1 Timothy, if you want to take some notes. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, where Paul simply states that if we serve for a Christian master, that we ought not to do it, and we ought not to despise that Christian master, but we ought to serve them, again, as unto the Lord, knowing that they benefit, the one benefiting is a brother and one that is beloved of the Lord. And we ought to be faithful as we work and not slack up, not go like this to my Christian employer. I took a little longer lunch. I was out for 3 hours today. Sorry. But I was caught up with the Lord, man. I mean, I was having my devotion and the Lord was just speaking to me. We want to be careful. Or I was ministering to someone. You know, now, again, if that's a prearranged agreement with your employer, fine. But let's not take advantage. Well, he's a brother. He'll understand. He'll get it. It's very important that we don't do that. And that's what Paul is saying there, that we're very careful. Notice he says here, as to Christ. And as we go, I'm going to give you the rest of the verses because I can't give them to you all at once. You'll go to sleep then. Verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers. Wow. He's just nailing it. But what? As servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Not with eye service. What does he mean? Not when someone's watching you. Do you serve? Do you work hard? But at all times. At all times. Why? Because the one that really is watching you sees everything. When I live for the Lord, we use that phrase, live for the Lord. But I've been living for the Lord. When I live for the Lord, when he's my master, I am the most faithful, the most committed. And certainly that's true about work. If you're working for the Lord, and I suggest that's what the passage is saying, that you're working for the Lord. If you're working for the Lord, you know this. You know how it is. When the boss is away, you know, the saying goes, cats away, the mice play, right? I would prefer, I am a boss to some degree. I prefer me not being looked at as a cat eating mice. But anyways, When the boss is away, and I've even seen this in the church, there's no difference between the issue in the church, that the people play. Yeah, hey, you know, hey, what's up? You know, let's check. You know, cell phones start coming out. You know, we start hanging out. Church, the world will do that. The people you work with will do that. But you have a higher accountability. You have a greater boss. I love that sticker. My boss is a Jewish carpenter. Some people don't get it. They're like, what's that? Jesus? He was a Jew. He was a carpenter. That's what it's talking about. You know, my boss is greater. My boss's eyes penetrate through. You want to talk about X-ray vision. He doesn't only see it all. He knows it all. He sees the motives and the intents of the heart. Wow, I got some accountability when I go to work Monday morning, don't I? It's good accountability. This is what's going to make you an effective witness. It's when you serve the Lord and you recognize God says, I don't want you to be a man pleaser. I want you to be a God-fearer. That's what he's saying. I don't want you to be a man pleaser. I want you to be one who serves Christ from the heart. Notice what he says there in verse 6 at the end. He says, doing the will of God from the heart. What is the will of God? What is God's will for you and me? God's will for our lives is that we would represent him. We read it this morning as we closed in worship. I read to you out of Romans chapter 12. And in Romans chapter 12, in verse 2, it says, not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might what? That you might prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Notice he didn't say that you might find out what is the good and acceptable and perfect will. As we commit our lives to Christ, as we surrender our lives to him, we will prove what is the good and acceptable. Our lives will be an example. Our lives, not our words, our lives, our actions, our character will be an example of what is the good, what is the perfect, what is God's will, what's that acceptable will of God, that we might simply shine, that we might be the fragrance of Christ, as the word tells us that we're to be. And he goes on to say, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord. There it is again, as to the Lord and not to man. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. So what is Paul saying here? He's saying this. He's saying again that we're to do it with goodwill, to good intention. You know, when someone says goodwill to you, when the angel said goodwill, you know, peace, you know, on earth, goodwill towards men, God's favor be upon you, blessing upon you. That's the way we're to do it. We're to do it with a blessing. We want to see people blessed. We want to be a blessing to people. And in the context here, he's saying, as we serve our master, we are to serve our employer, we're to serve our company, we're to serve our coworkers with goodwill, knowing this, that our reward isn't from the review that's coming up. I know that in many of our jobs, there's cutbacks going on. Some of our jobs have been cut completely, and we're out of work today. And, you know, it's interesting because the way God works is he's, you know, obviously God is all wise. He knows. I mean, let me just say this. If you're a true Christian as an employer or employee, you're a true Christian. You're living the Christian life. You're doing this. You're going to be the last person they're going to cut. Because you're going to be the hardest, most faithful, most committed, most integral worker that that company has. And they're going to know that. They're going to know, we can count on this guy. We can trust this guy. Now, there are those times that you might be harassed or you might be persecuted for that. And if you're taking those notes, write down 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. Peter talks about that we're to serve our masters, not just the gentle and the kind, but the harsh. And then he gives us an example. When we suffer reproach there, that Christ is our example and we follow him. And he talks about not answering back, not reviling, not, you know, someone has an accusation, you come back with one, not being like that, but committing your soul to God. That's what he speaks of. Giving yourself to God, fully committing your soul to God. And that's what we see. And I believe that. I believe that in most cases, as you work hard, Another one of those verses, which is one that's so dear to my heart and kind of the theme of our family and our house. And certainly as I raise my sons, my passion for them is they grow up and be godly men. Part of being a godly man is being a hard worker, is being someone that's faithful, someone that says something and you can count on it coming through. Someone that says, I'm going to be there. Not men led by emotions and by their flesh, but men are commitment and men that know how to work hard and to labor. God has made men, and especially men, and there's no doubt that women work hard in their own sphere so often, more oftentimes than some men. And I'll tell you what, this generation, the youth right now, they have a real problem working hard. Why? Because they never have. Because they never did. Because, I mean, their thumb muscles are amazing. Strongest things. Don't get like in a thumb wrestling match with them, because those computer games and those video games, they're masters, and I never play them. I just get wiped out. It's a joke. I mean, you know, give me Centipede or forget it, because, you know, they're going to just smoke me. I tried it. You know, I got the video games for my kids, and I thought, this is going to be great. I'm going to sit down and just have a great time. It's no fun. You just get just destroyed, demolished. I can't even play golfing on the Wii without getting destroyed by my son, who's six, just destroys me. Demolishes me. He just knows what. Anyways, but the problem is that's how they're growing up. That's the society they're in. And this idea of working hard, and we're losing it. And we lose it in the church. Do you realize this is a biblical thing? This is what Paul says. Our parallel passage in Colossians, I want to read it to you instead of just jotting it down, but do jot it down. Colossians 3 says this. This is our parallel passage. Remember in Colossians, we have these parallel passages to Ephesians. Colossians 3, verse 22. Servants, some of it's going to be just very similar to what we've already read. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Look at verse 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to man. There it is. Do it heartily. The word is, whatever you do, do. The second do here is for the word work in the Greek. Whatever you do, work it heartily. Do it with all your might. Work your hardest. That's what God is saying. Servant, employee, worker, work hard. Because as you do it, and do it to what? Work hard, heartily, as what? Unto the Lord. You know, as a pastor, I am a boss. And as a boss, you can make your own schedule. You can, at times, do what you want. I know pastors that have a pretty nice schedule. But I wonder what's going to happen on the day of reckoning. And I'm just being shooting straight with you this morning. Because I can just kind of, you know, cruise. But listen, I don't work for you. I don't work for this church. I don't work for our staff. I work for the Lord Jesus Christ who has called me. Let me just say that there's no difference between my calling and yours. Might be a different place. It might involve different things. But we're both called to work unto the Lord, to work harder. There are things in my job as a pastor I don't want to do. You ever experience that? Certain things you do, you're like, I don't want to do that. Those things you'd like to avoid, last on the list, the hard things. But those things that we got to be faithful to. And I've got those. I've got a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things in the ministry. You know, you guys think it's just all glorious and beautiful. And, you know, Pastor Trent, he must be praying right now as you're out there working. I wish I was in prayer in the Word all day. That would be awesome, but that's not the reality. There's work to be done. There's administration to be done. There's things to do. There's many businesses within the church that need to be run. There's accounting that needs to be accounted for. There's board meetings that need to be taken care of. There's spreadsheets that need to be looked at. There's real business life within the church. And God's called me as a Bible teacher and as a pastor and as a shepherd to be faithful in the oversight of those things as much as in the faithful, the study of God's word and the oversight of that here on Sunday morning with you. And it takes work. And it takes sleepless nights sometimes. And it takes hard work. But God has called me to be faithful. And He's called you to be faithful. There's nothing worse than a pastor that's a sluggard. A pastor who you can just go, he's probably golfing again. You know? It's like that's not the kind of shepherd that the Lord is raising up. That's not the kind of employee that an employer is saying, hey, you know what, we're making cuts this year. And, you know, well, where do they cut? They cut where the biggest pay is and where the least needed person is. And so if you've got a big pay and you're not that needed because you don't do a lot, well, you're the first on the list. And you know what? Even if you're taking a pay cut, I just want to remind you, until God moves you or opens another door, and I'm not saying he can't do that, he certainly can, be faithful where you are and work heartily as unto the Lord and not to man. And here in Colossians, he goes on, he says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance. Listen, the pay is going to come in heaven, for you are servants of the Lord Christ. Then notice the warning, verse 25, but he who does wrong will be repaid for the wrong which he has done, for there is no partiality. He will be repaid for the wrong which he has done. Now, in Ephesians verse 9, and we'll wrap it up here, it says, and you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. So speaking to the employer, to the boss, to the master, notice what he says. Don't miss it. And you, especially if you're a boss, and you masters do the same things to them. To who? To your employers. Do what? Serve them. Don't do it for eye service. Serve Christ. Do the will of God. Be faithful. Be an example. All of those things. One verse that I didn't give you, and it is an important one, is found in the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 verses 9 and 10 speaks again to the servants, and it tells them that they're to do their serving. It says that they're to do it to be well-pleasing in all things. Verse 10 says, verse 9, not answering back. Verse 10 says, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity. I think that's important, that idea of integrity, honesty. But God says that there again, Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, tell us that as servants or as a master, because it's the same for both, we're to be integral. We're not to be pilfering. That's the word stealing. We're not to, there's many ways you can steal. You don't need to take cash, embezzle money. You can embezzle goods. You can embezzle supplies. You can embezzle time. Time that's on the clock, as we would say. But, you know, you're really doing your own thing at that time. That's not right. That's pilfering from the company. You know, I've seen this done in the ministry as well. You know, amongst Christians, again, that idea, Christian boss, Christian employers, and in the church that, you know, it's just like, well, we're the church, we're just chilling, we're hanging out. There's such a difference between someone that works heartily as unto the Lord. You realize, man, this person's working for the Lord. I don't need to hold them that accountable. They're accountable to the Lord. And they work hard and they're diligent and they're committed to Him. It's a wonderful thing to work with people like that. And then, you know, some that you're like, well, I don't know who they're working for. Don't think they're working for me or the church. I don't think they're working for the Lord. And I'm not speaking of anyone presently on staff, so you can start thinking, you know, put away our staff members and go, which one of them? That's not what I'm saying. But I have had a lot of staff members through the years, and I've seen a lot of people through the years. Commitment, loyalty. That's what God's called us to do, let alone the laws of our land. I think it's very important that we recognize that. But here it says that the master to give up threatening. Now in the parallel passage in Colossians, it says it this way, Colossians 4 verse 1, masters, give your servants what is just and fair. So if you put the two together, Colossians 4, 1 and Ephesians 6, 9, you have masters, stop threatening them. Stop manipulating. Stop threatening your employees with this or that. Hey, listen, if they need to be laid off, lay them off. Don't threaten them. Be a man of your word. If they need to be corrected, correct them. Hold them accountable. But what you do with them, Colossians says, make sure it's just and it's fair. Let me put it this way. Don't ask them to do what you're not willing to do. Don't put on them requirements that are not upon you. Well, I'm the boss. I can do whatever I want. Well, if you're in the world, you can do that. But if you want to be a witness of Jesus Christ, I'm thankful Jesus didn't say that. Well, I'm Jesus. I'm God. I can do whatever I want, so I'm going to do this. Now, you got to do something else. No, he went the extra mile. He made the sacrifice. He gave it all up so that we might have life. And again, Colossians, since I'm there, it says, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. To the employer this morning, fear God. You will stand before him. The text in Ephesians says it this way. After it says, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. He will judge fairly. He's not going to say, well, you were the boss, so you could do that. And they were employees, so they couldn't. He's going to be just with you. He's going to be fair with you. And he's not going to show any partiality with you. Again, we serve the Lord Christ. We serve the Lord. And there's a beauty there. And church, can I say, you and I are free. Free from worrying about what people think. Free from worrying about what people say about us behind our backs. Free from people trying to get the promotion over us. We're free when we're serving Christ. We're free to work hard. We're free from that discouragement of, well, no one recognizes. Doesn't matter. He does. There's coming a day of reckoning. It's not going to be on your W-2. It's going to be in heaven. And you're going to be paid in full for what you've done for the Lord. And that your heart is eternal. That your thoughts are eternal. That your main goal and focus is, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a light. I want to be a witness. I want to effectively preach the gospel in this church God's given me. And when I say that, I mean this. Your work is your church. If this is my church and my pulpit, your work, it's yours. Yours is done a little different than teaching from the Bible. Yours is done by living from the Bible. That our lives would manifest Jesus Christ and his love. Church, I pray God's blessing on you. And I pray we don't forget this as we depart now from this text. I pray we don't. Because it's half of your awake life for many of you. It's where you live. It's where you are. Be faithful to God. Serve him. Love him and allow him to lead you and guide you and bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for God, your word this morning. We ask that you would just fill our hearts with yours. That you'd pour out your spirit upon us. And God, that you would open up our hearts and our conscience, Lord, to areas in our secular workplace, as we call it. But Lord, it's a sacred place that you've called us to live before you in. Not just, Lord, on Sundays to lift our hands into worship, but on Mondays to lift our hands to the work in front of us and worship you as we present ourselves to you. And Lord, as others peer in and look, that they might see you, Christ. Give us, Lord, favor in the sight of our employees, our employers. Give us, Lord, favor for your name's sake, for the gospel. Would you make us the fragrance of Christ? As Paul said, that we are like that fragrance that people will smell, and when they smell us, they smell Christ. They come in contact with him. And we bring that to them. Your word said to some it will be death because they'll reject him. But to some it will be life leading to life as they receive him. That's your dealing. That's not our responsibility. Ours is just to be a light in the midst of darkness. So Lord, strengthen us in the sanctuary so that as we go into the storm tomorrow, that we might shine as bright as we do here, if not brighter, for your glory and your honor. We thank you and praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.